Hey, Perez.
Yes.
Hey, man.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right.
Thanks for joining.
Awesome.
I like your
this
avatar.
Is new.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mike August is calling. That's such a funny thing. Perez, the last we spoke, I was, and I know you're known for all the Hollywood gossip and everything, but. The last we spoke, we were getting into you and surrogacy and your children and being a family man and a dad and a two dad environment. So I kind of want to talk about that. I want to kind of pick up where we left off.
I'd love to actually really be a two way street as well, because you're a dad too, and I don't know the situation with your kids, but I'm so frustrated. My children have not been in school since March. And I look at other countries like Canada and the UK and Australia and New Zealand, where they've made getting children in school safely and following the science and what the recommendations are, that's a priority. But here in Los Angeles and in other parts of the U.S., that's not a priority. And I am a realist who has accepted the fact that we're going to be dealing with COVID most of 2021 as well. We got to get our kids back in school. It's so hard for me.
I know. I completely concur. And they're in no danger, so says statistics and CDC and everything else. And, you know, so then they start doing this. They start concocting these sort of secondary scenarios, which is, well, what if your kid goes to school and then volunteers in an old age home? And it's like, well, we won't do that. How about that? How about he or she just goes to school and then they return? And then they go, well, what if you're living with your decrepit great grandmother and she's in a hospital bed in the living room? And it's like, okay, but we don't have that situation. It's young people with young parents or parents that aren't in any kind of demographic where they would be vulnerable. So how about that? It really just lets you understand that school teachers like staying home and getting paid. My whole thing is why don't we just cut their pay off and then see if schools magically reopen?
Yeah, that's actually very true, because a lot of the public schools, and I think that unions are great. I am pro union.
But
like you said, some of the teachers are comfortable and making unrealistic demands that are not founded in science and reality, and are using that as an excuse to stay home and get paid and not have to commute to work or whatever it may be. And it's just so frustrating, because my children are struggling and suffering in different ways every single day. And I understand that schools may not have all the staff and resources necessary to get back safely. That's why our elected officials need to get their act together and make it happen. I mean, frankly, I'm just flabbergasted that the Senate adjourned yesterday without any coronavirus stimulus for Americans, especially now that, like, here in Los Angeles and California and in other parts of the country, people are going back into lockdowns, and now they're going to need money that they're not going to get from the government. It's BS, but
And of course, I've known Perez for many, many, many years. It's so great, I guess, to see you evolve from gossip diva to concerned citizen and doting parent. It's something.
I'm very concerned. And also, a lot of people have me falsely labeled as some loony liberal. I'm not. I repeatedly state that I consider myself to be a realist, as I like to call it. If I had a party to identify myself as, I'm a party of the realist party. But
yes.
I would say I am a liberal centrist. I'm somebody who wants to get things done. That's why, you know, before Joe Biden was nominated for the Democratic Party, the person that I was really behind was Pete Buttigieg. He seems to me to be somebody that could reach across the aisle and get things done, and that would appeal to all different kinds of voters. And I don't even think, maybe I'm naive and wrong.
And he's gay. Come on, Perez.
Well, I was going to say, maybe I'm naive and wrong in thinking that most people wouldn't make that an issue because, yeah, he's gay, but he's married. He's also a veteran. He's also truly deeply religious and from the middle of the country. And is being gay still a big issue for a lot of people?
No, I don't. Listen. First off, you can listen live on the Stereo app, and listeners should submit their audio questions, and we will take those live. You know, we do as a society, I believe, we do a lot of this country's not ready for a black president, and then we have a two-term black president, and then we go, this country's not ready for a black vice female black. Black female vice president, and then we have a black female vice president. And we're always kind of saying we're not ready for, but we kind of are. I mean, I think we're over it. I think if someone is gay or black or Hispanic or whatever, whenever, female, I think we're over it. I feel like the candidates become like anybody else in your life, and that once you know them as a person, I don't think people think of Barack Obama as a black man. I think they think of him as Barack Obama. And I don't think people think of Oprah as a black woman. And I don't think people think of Ellen as a lesbian. They just think of her as Ellen. That's kind of who we are.
To many people, they're family to many people. Like they will support them and not necessarily agree with everything, like family. You know, I grew up in Miami, where most of the people that live there are registered Republicans and conservatives. And I will disagree with them, but they're still family to me, even if we don't align every way.
Well, I really do think that once we get to know people, like, I'll put it to you this way. I know people who love Obama, and I know people who hate Obama. I don't know anyone who hates Obama who hates him because he's black. They hate him because they didn't like his policies. I'm not saying those people don't exist in the world. I'm just saying not to the numbers we think they do. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had an overwhelming majority of white people vote two terms for Obama. All right, we have a question here. Let me hit the button here, play a message.
I'm concerned that by closing schools, we're turning what should be a childhood disease like chickenpox into a 100-year situation where everyone is dependent on a vaccine to live. Kids need to go to school, and they need to get this thing and get it over with.
This guy sounds like a shop
teacher. Well, I don't want to, I don't want to burst his bubble, but I'm all but certain that if you're a parent, children are going to be required to take a COVID vaccine to attend school. And if you have objections with that, then don't send your kid to school. You could homeschool them. I'm totally fine signing my kids up to the coronavirus vaccine, which is currently being tested on tens of thousands of people. And I truly believe that they're not going to put it out on the market if it's not safe.
I agree. What are the ages of your kids, Perez?
7, 5, and 3. So really young.
Yeah, that's a handful. You home all day with them?
Yes, and I have help, thank God. I'm very honest and transparent about that. But, you know, it's still a lot. Like, making sure that they're trying to focus and not unmuting themselves when they shouldn't, or turning the video off or whatever it might be. Thankfully, we've got Thanksgiving break coming up, where I'm excited to have Thanksgiving alone and not attend a party like we're being told, and just unplug and be normal for a bit.
What's your status? What's your ex? You have a partner, ex-partner, right?
No, I'm single.
Oh, you did everything single.
Yeah, which is more expensive too.
Yeah. So what's your status? Is dating, boyfriend? What's the plan?
The plan is no plan. I mean, you can't manifest a boyfriend or a husband. I've always thought in the back of my mind that it'll happen for me in my 50s. Mm-hmm. So I got 7.5 years till I'm 50. And then hopefully by then, maybe perception of me will change, because I'm very plugged in. I know that even probably most of your listeners hate me, which is why I am so appreciative of you even having me on. This is a true opportunity to be heard, and maybe for one listener to think of me differently. So I'm very appreciative of that. And it's even worse and magnified in the gay community. Like, the majority of your listeners, I'd imagine, are straight men and women. Most of them hate me,
God
or
willing,
dislike me.
Yeah.
Dislike me. But the majority of the gay community is more than a dislike. It's a hot heat hate.
Really? Well,
yeah.
Let's. By the way, you can listen live on the Stereo app if you're listening and want to listen in. We'll take another question, then I'm going to ask you about that.
Label. Can I just say that you could still be a diva and still be political and still be a citizen of the world?
Well, that was nice. Hey, so why does the gay...
Which is contrary to what most people say, though. A lot of times they're like, you should just talk about celebrities. I don't want to hear you talk about politics. To which I respond, I am an American, and I think that everybody's opinion is valid. Mine is not any more valid or any more special than the person listening, and the person listening's opinion is not any more valid or special than mine.
So why does the gay community hate you with a white hot vengeance?
There's many reasons. The biggest one is I am not a good looking person. I'm like an average looking to ugly person. It's true.
Well, I mean, the gay community is super aesthetically oriented, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I looked like a supermodel and did all of the shit that I did in the past, they would overlook a lot or most of it just because I was drop dead gorgeous. But because I was extremely overweight for a very long time, and I'm now overweight again, like Oprah, I yo-yo. It's harder for me. And also, I'm not on television. Not only are gay men, many to most, shallow, but they also are such star fuckers. We're on the app. We could curse, right?
Sure. Curse away.
Yeah. They're star fuckers. So if I had a hit TV show, that also would absolve a lot of the sins of my past. I guarantee you, Andy Cohen is getting so much dick. Not because he's the hottest dude on the block, but because he's on television. And I'm not on television, and I'm not gorgeous. So that's why a lot of gay men have issues with me. Also, there's still a lot of internalized homophobia in the gay community. Many gay men think I'm too gay. I'm too flamboyant. I'm this, I'm that. I'm a bad representation for the community, whatever it may be. And some of them are still upset that I've gotten into feuds with some of their favorite divas, or I wrongly, and I truly regret, in the past, outed people, which I don't do anymore. So all of their reasons are justified. I get it. They are in the right. I was and deserve the hate. That's why it's going to take a long time and a strong, amazing man to give me a chance to get to know the real me.
Wow. That was insightful, although I feel like you're being unduly hard on yourself. Now, it is true that there is a different standard. So if you're a single middle-aged guy, you can date a hot chick if you're established, but you don't have to have six-pack abs or anything. You can have a bald spot. And I'm not even talking about sugar daddy. I'm just saying that's established. Like, that's how it works. But in the gay community, it's so aesthetically oriented that you feel like you just got to look fucking good with your shirt off. Otherwise, you're not going to attract anybody. Is that fair?
Yeah.
But yeah. But also, and don't you think you're kind of needlessly being tough on yourself? Like, first off, most people aren't great looking and most people don't have TV shows and they still manage to partner up with somebody and have a nice life.
I would love to. I know that I'm a great partner. I am very kind and caring and thoughtful. Like, my last boyfriend, maybe I was almost, I might have smothered him by giving him too much attention. Like, this is how cheesy I was. Like, not right away, but after we were in the relationship for a while, like maybe 6 months in, and I thought, you know, it was something serious. Like, I just started giving him a little gift every week, once a week, like cheesy things. Like, 1 week I bought him a cookbook so that he could cook things and we could cook things together. Another week I bought him a little snow globe with a stupid note that said, I want to share my world with you. Like, I'm that dude. And I would like to date me. I would like to date that. Somebody who is upfront about their wants and doesn't play games and is really honest. The same way that I am with celebrities and professionally, I am personally. Like, I'm direct and honest, and I think that's amazing and awesome. That's what everybody should be, but not everybody is that way.
What happened to that relationship?
Oh God, I should have known right away that it was doomed, because he had not been with that many guys before me. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you sure you want to be in a serious relationship now? Like, you should mess around, like, explore, have fun. And he's like, no, I'm serious. Like, I want to be with you. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then he didn't want to be with me. And as soon as we broke up, he became a big whore.
All right, let's take another question or comment.
I don't know about other people, but I know that I definitely think of Obama and Oprah and everybody as black or white. Like, I don't erase their heritage or their color. And I get, like, what you're trying to say, but...
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you,
I get what
hero.
She's saying,
yes,
too. She...
I'm aware they're black and white. I understand. I'm
well,
not erasing
that.
Their fucking heritage.
No, more than that. I think what she means, and I don't want to speak for her, but I think what she might possibly be trying to get at is that being black informs their decisions and how the world treats them and so on and so forth.
Do you think being black informs Americans of how they treat or think of Obama?
No, I'm saying being a black person informs how a black person thinks and behaves, from what I've heard from black people.
Right, but my comment was just Americans don't think of Obama and Oprah first as black people. They think of them as Oprah and Obama or Ellen. That's my point. I'm not trying to... I hate it.
Yeah,
you can't make a fucking comment without everyone going, you're trying to deny their heritage? It's like, ugh. I hate everyone under 40. Now, but... I'm just saying, the most popular couple on the planet is Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. They're in the United States. They are the most, they're royalty. And it's.
I got into a very heated discussion with a lot of people on TikTok because I made a video about the term Latinx. Have you heard that term?
Yes, and I can never figure out whether it's Latinx or Latinx, but yes.
Well, I am a first-generation Cuban-American. I'm a Latino. Both of my parents were born in Cuba. I didn't even speak English until I was 6 years old, 5 years old, and I went to school. I saw this really interesting segment on Bill Maher's show recently where this Latino politician who was a Democrat from Arizona said, one of the ways the Democratic Party can start better serving and addressing the Latino community, whom a lot of them ended up voting for Donald Trump, is stop referring to them as Latinx, because most of them don't like that term. And I could not agree with that guy more. The term Latinx was started by young college elitists, but I respect it. It first was started as a way to remove gender from the word Latino or Latina. And I get that. If you don't want to be addressed in a gendered way, I'll respect your wishes. But then it also morphed into a way to address people who are born in America to maybe not even Latino parents, but maybe the parents were born in America too. And maybe it's the grandparents that were born in another Latin country or whatever it is. And they identify with being American more than they identify with being Latino more, hence the Latinx. But that's the thing, right? That's a specific group of people. You shouldn't be calling all Latinos Latinx. And then you have somebody like AOC or others calling all of us Latinx when we're not all Latinx. We're Latinos or Latinas, and only a select number of us want to be called Latinx.
It's just more window dressing. It doesn't amount to anything. It's just whatever's new, whatever's next, whatever we can trip up the guy on the other side of the aisle with because they're not using the same nomenclature. It's just all bullshit. I mean, it doesn't move the needle. It doesn't help Latinx or Latinx or Latina or Latinos. It doesn't do shit. It's one big part. We have this new culture of talking about everything now. We have to sit down and have a real honest discussion about race. We need to have an honest dialogue. We never stop talking about fucking talking. Dialogue. Everyone needs to get the fuck to work and take care of their fucking family. I have no idea where all... all these people on TV are getting paid to talk about having a talk. I get what they're doing. Why are we taking the bait? This thing should... We shouldn't even know what Latinx is or Latinx is. We shouldn't even be having this conversation. We shouldn't fucking know what it is. These are idiots, and people are scared. Everyone is scared. It's working perfectly. Everyone's a fucking coward. No one wants to be called racist or misogynist or homophobic or whatever. So they know that. So they launch on everyone, and everyone complies because obviously they're canceling a lot of people. There's a lot of employee X. There's a lot of folks that used to have jobs that don't have their fucking jobs anymore because these asswipes get them X'd out from their job. It's McCarthyism. I have no idea why people go in for this, but it's coward. People are cowards. That's all. That's all I got. Sorry, Paris. Go ahead.
Well, thankfully, you know, I'm self-employed, so I can never really be canceled. If I was dependent on some big corporation, I would have been fired forever ago.
Of course. Me too. By the way, we're live on stereo. Let me try taking another question here.
Exactly what you're saying about not seeing Barack Obama as a black man or Oprah as a black woman or Ellen as a lesbian, that's exactly right. People don't see them as those things. That they might think of them after, you know, those names come into their head, but it's like Morgan Freeman said, if we're to get past, you know, things like racism is something as simple, we have to stop labeling each other. We have to stop referring to each other as black, white, or Hispanic. We don't need to classify ourselves because at the end of the day, we're all human. We don't need to specify, you know, where we come from or the nationality or, you know, sexual preference. Those things don't take precedent over the fact that we're all human beings.
Well, hard to argue with that, gent. Let me try another one.
First, I would love to say hello to Adam Carolla as well as Perez Hilton. Much love to you both. My name is B. Lotus, and I slid in, heard a little bit of this and that, and so I'm trying to throw my two cents in there, and if I'm incorrect, please correct me and please forgive me. No disrespect, but I've been talking about this whole Trump, Biden thing, Democrat, Republican thing for the last whatever, you know, keeps coming up, and I thought I heard you say, Perez, something like you don't agree with the family that you have that are, you know, Trump supporters, but you still love them. And that really is amazing to me. I can't believe it. Like, I would have thought, I just have not found anyone that seen it my way. And I'm just like, wow. I just can't believe it.
Well, she sees it your way. First off, the balls, not the caller. But what I'm saying is the notion that many people would say, you disagree with me politically, so I'm removing you from my life, family members, that kind of hubris is insane. You can't, I mean, there's a lot of college age kids who have like a conservative dad and they're not talking to him anymore. The guy's fucking paying for college. This is nuts. And I don't know why we don't make more of that. I don't know why we don't fucking open a can of whoop ass on these goddamn kids and tell them that's unacceptable. We sort of go along with it. Perez?
I mean, I don't know. It's a more of an Anglo thing, I think, because in the Latino community, we were just always taught that like family is everything from day one. Like, I grew up living with my grandparents. Like, that's how close my family is. And instead of hanging out with friends on the weekends, I'd hang out at my cousin's house. And then now I'm an adult, I realize, oh, that cousin or that uncle or that aunt or whatever, like, they're a big Republican, and that's fine. That's why I don't even need to have a conversation with them, though. Like, some younger people, like, they'll just, you need to learn to pick your battles and, like, who to have those conversations with. Like, I don't even want or need to try to convince anybody to vote for anybody else. I'm not going to do that. People are going to vote for who they want to. I'm happy to talk about who I'm going to vote for, but you do you and I'll do me and I'll share whatever information I think is important.
Well, this is an interesting thing that you brought up. And by the way, once again, we're live on the Stereo app. This is interesting because the young college students who have disowned their conservative parents and are not coming over for Thanksgiving, that is kind of strictly the dominion of white folk. I don't feel like that would be big in most other cultures. Whenever I hear about these stories, it's always blonde-haired white people. And white people, we don't like our parents that much. We're just looking for an excuse to disown their ass. I'm telling you, we don't have that sense of community like you guys have in the Latinx community. No. So that's an interesting point. Let me take another comment here.
I don't think that the listeners necessarily ever hated you, Perez, but I feel like just when Adam interviews people that we don't know, it's just about misunderstanding them. And hearing you on here really opened my eyes to your experience, and it's really refreshing. So we love you, buddy.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you. You know, I just am honest always, and I don't really care if you like me, though. It's nice when you do, but if you don't, it's all good. I'm still doing your show, and I would love to talk to this girl, Charli D'Amelio, and any young influencer who may be struggling right now, because I have a very just realistic view on hate and haters, which
what's going on with Charli D'Amelio?
Oh my God, she's trending all over the place because she and her sister were in this video where they just came off like rude, entitled, disrespectful, unappreciative brats. And now they're claiming it was a setup and it was staged and blah, blah, blah. And they're apologizing and all this stuff. And they're getting all this hate and they're human. I'm human. I'm only 16. I get it. Whatever. Listen, I would rather get a hate comment than a love comment. Here's why. If I post a photo on Instagram and somebody says, oh my God, let's even make it about my kids, right? Mm-hmm. Your daughter's gorgeous. If somebody leaves that comment, fine. People will keep scrolling. But if somebody says, oh my God, your daughter is so ugly, that comment is worth more because that comment saying my daughter is ugly is going to get more engagement than a comment saying your daughter is gorgeous. People will then either start defending me and my daughter or chime in to try to hurt me and agree with her. Like, yeah, your daughter is such a troll. That's what you get. You deserve having an ugly daughter for being such an ugly human being. And at the end of the day, all I care about is engagement. I know my daughter's gorgeous. The opinions of strangers don't matter to me. The negative opinions of strangers. It is nice to hear positive things, but you really have to be analytical about it and view it that way and say it's only a win for me. And even right now, this girl, Charlie, is going through so much. Like, literally, if you Google Charli D'Amelio, she's being written about all over the world. Headlines from major publications about this silly video. And sure, she might lose, and she has lost a million followers on TikTok in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
She might lose.
I'm looking at it.
She might lose some sponsorships as a result of this stupidity, but what she's getting is invaluable. And hopefully she listens to this. What she's getting is all of the attention and all of this mainstream coverage. And that's what she needs. She is transcending TikTok and has become and is becoming more known as a mainstream personality and a traditional star that people know and care about and are invested in. And that's the way to secure longevity, because there's tons of influencers on TikTok that have tens of millions of followers, but that Adam Carolla and your listeners have no idea who they are, but they're beginning to know who Charli D'Amelio is. And that's invaluable for her.
All right. Let's take another comment.
On the topic of family members not talking to each other, I'm in Canada, so when we watch the presidential election, it's like watching the Super Bowl. I mean, it affects us, but it doesn't really affect us. It's like blue versus red. Here, it's hockey, Leafs versus Habs. Leafs fans hate Canadiens fans. Habs fans hate Leafs fans. Is that what it's like over there, too? I mean, I try to consider the fact that you guys are voting for your lives, but it seems like it's a team sport there as well.
I've said that so much. It upsets me that, and I mean, it's the reason why Donald Trump got elected in the first place. So many people, in my opinion, view politics as entertainment. And I wish they'd just get a damn hobby. Because to me, politics isn't entertainment. Politics is hopefully figuring out a way to get shit done and move us forward. But it's entertainment for many people.
Agreed. We're live on stereo. Let me try another. No, I don't have one. Oh, okay. Yeah, I, you know, the problem with politics in this country is when you get past policies, you're not talking about taxes anymore. You're not talking about border security. You're not talking about climate change. You get past policies and you start painting one side as racist or Hitlerian or whatever, now the temperature's going to go up, because there's a big difference between voting for somebody because you believe in their policies about lowering regulation or lowering taxes or security at the border, and or voting in a Hitlerian type character who's going to, you know, crush his enemies and ruin, you know, and take away everyone's civil liberties. Well, then if you then, in fact, vote for that person, well, then you're a bad person. You're not a bad person if you vote for someone who wants to lower the corporate tax rate, but you are a bad person if you're voting someone who's going to oppress minorities and declare a fatwa on gays and lesbians. And so that's the way they couch it. So once you couch it that way, how else could this go? If your family back in Miami, not you personally, but if they are Trump supporters and Trump is painted as Hitler, well, then your parents or your grandparents or your family, uncles, well, then they support Hitler. And then they become de facto bad people. And that's the mess we got ourselves into.
I mean, I do think that people need to be better informed about who they're voting for and think bigger than just, well, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat and I've always voted Republican and I've always voted Democrat. Like in Georgia, there was this woman that was elected to the House of Representatives in D.C. who is a conspiracy theorist, a QAnoner. I don't even want to mention her name. I don't want to give her more attention than she's already been getting. But she's an anti-masker. She's like against science and she got elected. How did that happen? Like, I guess it happens just how I said it. Like, people are like, well, she's the Republican and she's the only Republican running. I'm going to vote for her. But it's like, you shouldn't vote for people just because they're this or that. I've said this before. I think I might have even said it last time I was on your show or not. Like, I wish that America really moved on from this two-party system. If we had four or even three, we need more than three. If we had like four viable parties, then people could just really try and align with the candidate that is speaking to them and not just this or that. Like, it sucks that it's so binary.
I agree. Once again, we're live on stereo, and Perez Hilton has a book that I should definitely plug, TMI, My Life in Scandal. It's available now on Amazon, and the podcast, Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker, is available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify as well, and also the YouTube channel, Perez Hilton. Hey, Perez.
Yes.
Thanks for letting my audience get to know you a little bit better.
Thank you. This was fun. I even got to create a little emoji on the stereo app, and I've got a sombrero on and some glasses, and it was cool to be able to so quickly have you take questions from people that were listening live on the app.
Yeah, we can try one more if you want to try. Do it.
Sure.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Adam. Adam, I remember you from The Man Show. Late at night, I'll leave it there. Perez, I remember you from PerezHilton.com. You guys are both ahead of your time in many different but similar ways. Perez, I'd love to hear about your experience in Miami, being, you know, how you related to your family who was traditional. What we hear about, great point on the Latinx or Latino X. We clearly see that not all Latinos vote alike or have same policy, similar to not just like anyone else, black people or white people. There is a thing where I would love to hear the history of why some Cubans vote the way they do, if you know. And Adam, there is something to what you're being says. As a white man, you're kind of public enemy number one in the media. You're not a woman. You're not a person of color. So there's that. And this is coming from a black man.
Yeah. Well, Perez, I would like to table or shelf that question for the next time we have you on, because I feel like we could do probably 15 or 20 minutes on that subject alone.
Sure.
So we'll
I've got lots of good answers for you on that.
We'll have you back.
For the next time.
I'm going to be at West Palm Beach, the Improv tonight, by the way, and then tomorrow night as well, doing two shows. And also doing a matinee show with Mark Garagos at a live Reasonable Doubt. So we'll be doing that on, and Garagos is going to be a guest on our podcast as well out there. So
the lawyer?
Mark Garagos, the lawyer. So you can see us live.
He's doing comedy now?
Well, I'm doing comedy and he's getting drunk and laughing. That'll be at the Improv tonight and tomorrow night if you're listening to this. And also Burbank, California, coming up to Pickwick Bowl, doing a drive-in show and a car show. That'll be December 12th. So go to AdamCarolla.com for all that you need, and go to PerezHilton.com for all that you need as well. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for my friend Perez Hilton, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at AdamCarolla.com.